Well, good morning. I won't be doing the teaching this morning. My oldest son, Michael, is going to be teaching a Sunday school class this morning. He is an ordained pastor. Went to Bob Jones University. And anyway, he's agreed to teach our class this morning. I love to have him come and teach when he has a chance to come. And I'll let him tell you about what he's doing and the job that he's in. So come on up, Michael.
You've got to be done by quarter after. You got okay. 45 minutes.
All right. All right. Got to know your parameters, right? All right. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. I think most of you have met me before or at least know a little bit about what I do, but I'll... The lesson I have for this morning is kind of born out of two different things that have been going on this year in my personal life. So I'm the president at Siloam Missionary Homes. We provide housing for missionaries, but as you'll hear in the lesson this morning, we're actually trying to shift our focus to do more than that. And then also I have prayed for about 3 years. It's been almost four now. I've served at the church that I've been attending in North Carolina for quite some time in various roles, and just felt my time there was done. And so I've been praying for 3 to 4 years now that God would open the door for me to assist a church planter. And earlier this year, I heard about a church plant that was actually going to be about 15 minutes away from me, had opportunity to meet with the pastor. And so since April, we've been prepping for this church plant, doing events in the town, meeting the people, getting to know the area. And our first, we're calling them preview services, but our first preview service will be the second week in January with our official launch the first Sunday in March. And so the lesson this morning is born out of learning experiences God's leading in my life over these past several months. But I did choose to at least start off with a Christmas theme, but the lesson really isn't about Christmas. So the term that came to mind when thinking about the topic for this morning was the birth of Christ, thinking of the birth of Christ, when Joseph and Mary have been traveling and they get to the inn and they approach the innkeeper about a place to stay, and what does the innkeeper say? There's no room. And so I was thinking about that because pretty much any Christmas play that's ever been done that involves the nativity and the birth of Christ has an innkeeper and a pregnant Mary and a Joseph that come, and the innkeeper always has that line, right? There's no room in the inn. And now we know, because we have the scripture, that God obviously provided a place for Mary to safely deliver baby Jesus. We know that it was predicted in Scripture that he would be born in a place, a humble place. So I'm not discounting any of that. However, the thing I would like us to focus on is I do think that sometimes as Christians, we have no room as a mindset. And we don't make room to show fellow believers the biblical hospitality that we should be showing them. And in extension, we don't make room to show hospitality, biblical hospitality, to the unsaved. Because if we're not showing it to our fellow believers, we're probably not showing it to the lost either. And so this is something that God has really been bringing to light for us. Because at Siloam, we're just about to finish our 33rd year of ministry to missionaries at Siloam Missionary Homes. And our slogan has been a place for missionaries to call home the entire time. But as this year has progressed, I've really felt challenged of the Lord to go beyond that and to really focus on their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, their physical needs, and make sure that everything that we do at Siloam is designed to prepare them to go back and do the work of the Lord, whatever that may be. And in every situation, that's different, because every family has different needs. They're facing different struggles. And we've had that same mindset in the church plant. So since April, we've done 18 events in the town that we're going to be planting a church in, even though we have no building, we've not met as a church body yet, but we've already been in the town meeting the people, showing God's love to those people. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is being used of God as a willing vessel to minister to everyone we come in contact, what it looks like and why we should do it. So I'm going to ask this morning that, you know, we need to keep everybody awake this morning. So I'm going to ask some of you to read some of the scriptures. So if someone would turn to Romans 12:13 and read, volunteer to read Romans 12:13. Get an early morning Bible drill. Yes, sir. He got there fast. Yeah, go ahead. Does anybody else have another version that says it a little differently?
Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality.
Anyone else?
Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality.
Yep. So there's another translation that I saw that said pursue hospitality. We heard practice hospitality. The interesting thing to this is this passage is in the middle of a whole bunch of practical application from the Apostle Paul about what living as a Christian actually looks like. And we're actually going to look, we're going to read the full context of this passage a little bit later. But the majority of this chapter focuses on behaviors that require a change in our mindset. And that's what's interesting about this particular topic is biblical hospitality. What we're hopefully going to see today is it is actually explicitly stated like it is here in Scripture. And it is something we are all supposed to be doing. And there's a reason behind it. So In this passage here, Romans 12:13, it's this instruction is given in the middle of others that include an exhortation to pray, to serve, to be patient, to be joyful, and we'll look at some more of these later. I've got a whole list of things out of this passage that Paul includes, and one of them is practice hospitality, show hospitality, be given to hospitality. So think about now again the story I started with, thinking about the innkeeper and saying there's no room in the inn. So what implications might there be for us as Christians if we have the mindset of there's no room? And I wrote a few things just out here. When we say no room to a situation that God lays on our heart, you know, whether it be somebody that we know is in need of a meal, somebody that we can tell is in need of comfort, somebody who has suffered a great loss, somebody who is going through a physical trial with an illness or being treated for cancer, whatever the case may be, there are times where God clearly lays upon our heart an action that we are supposed to take towards someone else, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. And if we say we have no room or no time at that moment in time, we're not just turning away a person, we're rejecting the very Spirit of Christ who dwells within us. We're saying no to God and to His leading in our life. True biblical hospitality, as talked about in the Scripture, always makes space for those in need, regardless of what our circumstance may be. It does put us out at times. It's something that requires extra effort on our part, and often will require us to do more than what we feel like we can or want to do at that moment in time. No room can also indicate a closed heart. As I've already said, one of the best ways to change your mindset is to start with the people right here. The people that you see every service. Show God's love towards those that you're here with because you already have a natural affinity with the people that are here. So start practicing that change in mindset with the people you already know. Because if you try to start with people you don't know, it makes it that much harder. But if you start practicing that change of mindset with the people that you know, then extending that to those that are unsaved, to those that you maybe have never met before, but God lays them on your heart at that moment in time, it'll be much easier to continue showing God's love towards people by starting with those that you already know. Saying no room to someone may be turning away spiritual help to someone who is in great spiritual need. You have no idea when God lays someone on your heart what they may be going through and what they need, but if you are willing to listen to God's leading in your life, you may have a tremendous impact in their life. I actually had an experience of this recently. We have a businessman who is in the process of supporting Siloam. And he came and visited over a year ago our property. And I had never met him before. I had one of my board members that kind of set up the meeting, and he came and visited. And we gave him a tour of the property. We talked with him about what we did, took him inside, and in our dining room, we have a big map of the world. And on that map, we have pins and name tags of every family that has ever stayed at Siloam. And so there's a lot of pins and a lot of names on that map. And so he saw the map, and he looked at me, and he said, "You'd have had me at the map." So I hadn't forgotten that. And so right before, about a week and a half ago, I actually finished putting together a small shadow box with a map, and I put pins for all representing all the missionaries, and I took it to him and met with him and gave it to him as a gift. And as soon as he flipped it over, he looked at it and he said, "I think this is the best thing that anybody has ever given me." But I still didn't know why the map connected with him. So our 30-minute meeting ended up lasting about an hour and 45 minutes. And during that time, he began to share that prior to him coming to visit Siloam, God had been working on his heart in several different ways. One of those ways was he still tended to use the wealth that he had built up as the owner of the Pella distributor in North Carolina. He still tended to use it much more often for personal good, for personal gain, for personal things than for spiritual things. And God had been working on his heart on that topic. Had also been working on his heart about ministering to his employees. It's a secular company. But God had been working on his heart about ministering to his employees. And for whatever reason, God used his visit at Siloam to be the pinpoint for his life of change in the way he thought about many different things. One of those was he immediately went back to his company, created a position of chaplain in his company, and promoted one of his friends into that position that he felt would be qualified to do that. How many secular companies have a paid on-site staff chaplain? Not very many. But he does. And then he also shared that there was another man that was working there who was training for the ministry and planning to go into ministry, who has since left to go help with a church plant. And he had been working with the owner on challenging him to use his wealth for the kingdom rather than for just personal things. And so, unbeknownst to me, that's what God had been doing prior to him visiting Siloam. And then when I gave him that map, it just brought back to his mind all that God had been doing in his life, and then he shared it with me. It was a natural outpouring for him. So he put it at a place where everybody who walks in his office is going to see this map and ask him why it's there, so that he can tell what God has been doing in his life. See, I didn't know. We had no idea. But God arranged those circumstances. What if I'd never taken him in there? What if I hadn't spent the time with them that day that I was supposed to? If we say no room, we close ourselves off to opportunity for ministry that God wants us to have, sometimes for our benefit and sometimes for the other person's benefit. He's already given us a fairly significant gift that's just the start of what he's planning to do. And when I left his office, I shook his hand one last time and said, "I just want you to know you have no idea the impact your gift has had on our ministry." And he held my hand a little bit longer, looked me in the eye, and said, "You may think my gift had a greater impact on you, but I promise you what you've done and what your ministry has done has had a greater impact on me." That's not me, that's God. And when we say no room, we are closing ourselves off to potentially blessing somebody else, but also to receiving blessing in return. And we close ourselves off to being a vessel to God's grace to those who may need it most. So a quote that I found was, "Challenge yourself to see beyond your own comfort and actively seek out those who might be overlooked, for in them you may be welcoming Christ himself." Now, I know the term hospitality in our culture often has more to do with entertainment and like going on a cruise. You've got a hospitality director at a cruise or at a hotel or at a resort. But the reality is Christian hospitality is not about entertaining. It's about being actively involved in the lives of other people so that you can share Jesus Christ with them and ultimately see them saved and then see them grow up into the image of Christ in their everyday life. That is what we should be doing as Christians. So it has a different motive than the world would have for hospitality. It has a different means than the world would have, and it has a different end. And so biblical hospitality is about honoring God by obeying what is actually a command to be given to hospitality. We are instructed to do this as part of our Christian life. And by doing that, we love other Christians and ultimately show love to those who also do not yet know Christ. So I've written my own definition of biblical hospitality: choosing to reflect the attributes of God to those around us through intentional thoughts and actions. In other words, having a biblical mindset. So don't let the term hospitality scare you off, because it's actually in the Bible. That term comes from, many of you have probably heard the Greek word koinonia, or fellowship is often how that is translated or used. But that's what this is talking about, is bringing people together. But in our mindset, we bring people together to become more like God, whether that's bringing someone to know God as their personal Savior or helping those around us grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not gathered to have fun necessarily, though there's nothing wrong with that. We're not gathered to just do activities, though there's nothing wrong with that either. But always our purpose as believers should be to gather together with biblical hospitality in mind, to see ourselves take on the attributes of God, to then reflect those attributes out and see God change lives through our interaction with them. If someone would turn to, I've got three passages to look up. Hebrews 13:2. If someone would look up Hebrews 13:2. If someone else would look up and be ready to read 1 Peter 4:9. And if someone else would look up Luke 14:13. Does somebody have Hebrews 13:2? Yes, sir. First Peter 4:9. Yes.
Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
And Luke 14:13.
But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.
So one of the things we see here, I like the 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality ungrudgingly. There is nothing worse than spending time with somebody who, even though they have invited you to spend time with them, clearly don't want to do it. That's the most miserable of circumstances, because you feel bad being there, they don't want you there, and it's not an enjoyable experience. And I do think sometimes we end up showing hospitality grudgingly. God calls us, think of Jonah. Jonah was called to go speak the gospel to the people of Nineveh. Jonah ran the other way. God said, no, no, you're supposed to go to Nineveh. When Jonah finally did get to Nineveh, was he a willing participant? Not really. Not at all. In fact, he saw great spiritual victory because the Ninevites responded to his message and turned from their sin and repented. And what did Jonah do? He still complained, right? So as believers, we need to be willing to show this hospitality, and we need to be willing to show it to people who have no way of reciprocating. It's not a quid pro quo where I do this for you and you do this for me. It's I do this for you because God has commanded me to do this for you. I do this for you because it is a way for God to use my life, my skills, my talents, my interests to impact somebody else's life for the cause of Christ. So hospitality is a part of us giving of ourselves, expecting nothing in return. That's a pretty good picture of the birth and death of Jesus Christ, is it not? Him giving of himself, knowing that we have nothing we can possibly give in return that's remotely of anything of the same value, and yet he still came to this earth, was born as a baby, lived on this earth, and then died to pay the penalty for our sin. All I'm trying to do today as we're going to look at four things. As we look at these things, I want you to understand that this is an easy way, if we really think about it, of living out the gospel in our lives. And not just living it out, but giving us the opportunity then to verbally share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do this for you because I'm different, because I'm a child of God. And here's how you can know this same Savior that I know. So one, Christian hospitality is an expression of love. Are you still in Hebrews 13? Can you read verses 1 and then also read verse 2 again?
Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels.
So Christian hospitality or biblical hospitality is an expression of love. I love how the author of Hebrews says it here. Let brotherly love continue. Do you know what that means? His expectation is this is already happening. We're already showing brotherly love to other people. It's a behavior or a mindset that he expects to already be there. And he says, continue doing what you're already supposed to be doing. And in doing so, don't neglect then to show hospitality to those who are not part of your normal circle, right? It's really, really easy to get together with people and fellowship with people where you know you have something in common and you have an affinity together. But what about people that you don't have a natural affinity with, that you don't have a natural bond with? He says, don't forget to show them hospitality as well. Because you never know what need you may be meeting. In this instance, he says, you never know. You may be entertaining angels unawares. You may be entertaining an unsaved person who's seeking and looking for the truth. You may be entertaining a fellow believer who is at that moment in time needing a reminder that Jesus loves them, that Jesus will strengthen them, and Jesus will help them through any circumstance they're facing. You have no idea. That's why we have to be sensitive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit in our lives to show biblical hospitality, because we don't know what the impact will be. Both ways. We don't know what the impact would be if we didn't do it, and we don't know what the impact would be if we listened and obeyed. And as we grow in our walk with the Lord, our hospitality towards others will also grow. That expression of God's love in our life will begin to spill over and bubble over and reach people that we didn't even know could be possible. I will tell you up front, my strength is not meeting random strangers. It's not my strength, not my strong point. Having a conversation with somebody I've never met is taking me way outside my comfort zone. But you know what? There are times where God leads us and directs us to do just that. And being obedient to His will take us outside of our comfort zone. And we need to be willing to say, yes, God, I hear you. I listen. I will do what you've called me to do. At Siloam, this means knowing things about the families, getting to talk with them, to understand them. So we had a family that moved in about a month and a half ago, and The week before they were to move in, they got the phone call that nobody ever wants to get. Their son was a student at Pensacola Christian College, and they got a phone call. Your son has taken his life. So here they are, 1 week away from moving in with us, and now they're dealing with a memorial service for their son and a funeral for their son and dealing with all his stuff. Then they move in, and I mean, they're in our counselor's office every other day just still dealing with all of this, especially the dad. He was struggling with it even more than his wife. And just as it seemed they were kind of, you know, coming to terms with what had happened, all his stuff shows up from the college. You know, they just boxed all this stuff up and shipped it there. So now they've got all this stuff to go through, ripping that wound right back open. Now, their needs are very different from other families' needs on that property, right? The thing they're going through, the struggle they're going through, it's not a cookie-cutter approach. What they need in their lives right now, the comfort they need, the scripture they need, the encouragement they need, is not the same as any other family that's currently living on our property. And you know the only way you find those things out? You show hospitality to them. You show them love. You talk to them. You minister to them. You listen to them. I'm currently working on some new values, mission vision values for Siloam. And one of our values, one of our core values is going to be listen to the missionaries. I don't care what you're doing, your job includes taking time to listen to the missionaries. If you feel like you're in the middle of something urgent, I mean, now if a building's burning down, please take care of the building. But other than that, part of your role as a staff member, no matter what your job title is to minister to the missionaries. And the only way you can do that is to take time and listen to them. Well, as believers, our role on this earth is to glorify God. And part of the way we do that is by ministering to fellow believers and reaching out to the lost. Guess what? You got to talk to people to do that. You got to interact with people to do that. You got to be together to do that. If you're just at home sitting in your room watching TV all day long, you're not going to be doing any of that. That's what God has called us to do. What do you know about the people that you're with, that you see every day? Are they grieving? Are they joyful over something God has just done? Are they suffering from morning sickness because they just found out they're pregnant? I mean, do you have somebody to minister to that just inviting that couple over for dinner would be far better than having a potluck with 20 people? Think about these things. It's an opportunity for us to minister to people. Think about Christ's interaction with the woman at the well in the book of John. Did Christ sit down next to the woman at the well and immediately start telling her what a horrible sinner she was? No, he started a conversation with her. He knew exactly who she was when he got there. He knew exactly what she was doing in her life and the sin she had in her life. He knew all of that. But he started a conversation. He built a bridge with her. And then he addressed what needed to be addressed spiritually. And what was her reaction? She went and told everybody, "You need to come see this man. He knows everything that I've ever done." And so many people were won to the Lord that day and became followers of Jesus Christ because he ministered to her in a way that was appropriate at that time, that met her needs and called her to himself. So we have to get to know people. We show biblical hospitality as an expression of God's love to the people around us. Something else that biblical hospitality does is it changes our mindset from self-focused to others-focused. It fosters selflessness. Can I have somebody read the first 8 verses in Romans chapter 12? Go ahead.
"Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in the serving of, or he who, in the service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
So that obviously in and of itself, that passage could be several lessons, right? But the things I want to highlight out of that is, one, we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice. We're to have a different mindset, right? We're not to have a worldly mindset, but a godly mindset. And we're to understand that we're part of a body, and as part of that body, we are all given different skills and gifts and abilities that are to be used within that body. They're not given to us to just hold tightly to. We're not to be Scrooge like Scrooge was with his money, not giving it out. That's sometimes there's believers that have tremendous skills and abilities and they never get used for the kingdom. They hold tightly to those and they hide them and they don't want to use them because they're not willing to be a living sacrifice. They have the wrong mindset. They have a worldly mindset of, well, I'm not comfortable with that, or I don't really want to do that, or I don't have time to do that. This passage is talking about putting that aside and realizing that just as Jesus came down and was sacrificed for us so that we could have an eternity with the Father, so we could be restored in our relationship with God, we too should then sacrifice ourselves in His service in whatever way God deems necessary and right for our lives. And so biblical hospitality helps us in our mindset be selfless, because we start thinking about the needs of others and not about our needs. Because it is very easy to get sucked in. You wake up in the morning and something hurts and you're tired and you know you've got a horrible day ahead of you at work or whatever it may be. And what just happens? You continue to suck into yourself. It's almost like a turtle pulling into its shell. But if you wake up in the morning and you say, you know what, God? It doesn't matter what these external pressures, it doesn't matter that I don't feel good today. I am your child, and I want to be used of you today. God, give me the interactions today that I need to be successful as a believer, being obedient to you. Help me respond to the leading of the Spirit when you lay upon my heart that I need to go talk to this person. I need to minister to this person. Help me to be obedient. You know what that does? It starts focusing you and looking for those opportunities, right? You know, growing up as a kid, one thing, when you read stories as a kid, all stories that are fun have a treasure hunter in it, it feels like, right? You know, somebody's searching for this treasure and they're searching for that treasure. I mean, it's still something that probably fascinates all of us in some way or another. We're always looking for that deal. We're in Goodwill and we think we see something and we're like, you know, that could be the next $50,000 find in Goodwill, whatever it may be. But people who look for treasure have something in common. They're looking for it, right? As believers, we should be looking for opportunities to minister for the cause of Christ. If we aren't actively looking for those opportunities, then we're focused on the wrong thing. And we're probably looking inward rather than outward. So biblical hospitality fosters selflessness. Think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, who suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. What if he decided that he had been beaten up so many times and had been imprisoned so many times that he was just too tired and too sick of all this to write all the letters that he wrote? He had a choice. Nobody made him write all these letters. What if he had decided that, no, I'm just sick of all this. I'm done. I'm not going to do this. Think about how much of the New Testament we wouldn't have if Paul had not been obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and done what God asked him to do. With great effect, I might add. Because a lot of our practical Christianity comes from whose writings? Paul's. We would be missing a huge chunk of practical Christian behavior and mindset if we didn't have the writings of Paul. So true biblical hospitality takes these teachings of service and of servanthood and puts them into action. It takes our gifts that God has given us and says, how can I use them? What can I do to further the kingdom with the gifts that he has given me? How can I build up the saints? How can I further the gospel? That's all outward focused. It's an inward growth that results in an outward view, all for the kingdom, all for Jesus Christ, all for the sake of the gospel. And yes, there are days we do not feel like being hospitable. If any one of you says, no, I feel like being hospitable and kind to everybody all the time, you are lying. And we know you're lying because nobody's like that. But it takes a biblical mindset to say, yes, today I don't feel that way, but I know it's right. I know it's what God expects. I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to look for those opportunities. The family that I'd shared with you at Siloam that just lost their son in a very tragic way, my building's maintenance guy was actually fixing the threshold of their door one day. And the wife was sitting out, they have a porch swing, and she was sitting out on the porch swing like this far from where he was working. And the Holy Spirit was telling him, you need to talk with her. There's something she wants to talk about with you about the event that with her son. You need to talk to her. And John was like, nope, not going to do it. The Holy Spirit prompted again, and John was just like, nope, I do not feel comfortable having this conversation. I don't know what they're going through. I've not lost a child that way. I don't want to have this conversation. You know what the first thing he did was? Smash his thumb with a hammer. I'm not kidding. And he said, I hit my thumb and said, okay, God, I'm going to have this conversation. And he did. And you know what? Because he was obedient, she was able to unburden herself over something that otherwise she may not have been able to unburden herself over. He didn't feel like showing biblical hospitality. Well, he did after he smashed his thumb. But what if he just listened in the first place? Didn't need to smash his thumb to get there. We're like that as believers too. We have opportunity. We need to listen for it. We need to look for it. Biblical hospitality provides refuge. I'm actually going to read this next passage just because we're 7 minutes away from time. But Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read the rest of Romans chapter 12. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The reality is we live in a very, very broken world. And we live in a world where that brokenness creeps into Christian lives as well and affects our lives and our interactions with people around us, affects our relationships, even within our own family. But through biblical hospitality, we provide a way for people with broken lives to find safety, to find refuge, to find peace. Because when they see us show forth God's love, no matter what circumstances we may be going through, They want to know that same peace. They want to know that same safety, that same refuge. Because we're not immune from the griefs of this broken, sinful, fallen world. But we have something that the world doesn't have. We have Jesus Christ. We have salvation. We have the Holy Spirit helping us take these scriptures and put the rubber, make the rubber meet the road, right? Show us how to live out what the scripture teaches us. And so our homes, our lives, our interactions with people need to be a place that gives people a spiritually safe place to confess their weakness, confess their sin, and be led and turned to the truth and love of Jesus Christ. We need to help people find real help in the context of biblical truth. That's what hospitality does. It is a door that is open to us, a way for us to reach into the lives of other people and say, look, I am not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I struggle with the same things you struggle with, but I know a God who helps through those situations, and He can help you too. It provides a place of refuge. And then the last thing is true biblical hospitality deepens fellowship. If someone would turn to Romans 15, I've got three more verses to read. Romans 15, verses 5 through 7. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
So, I want to share a quick personal story. As part of our church plant process, we've undergone several different trainings and fellowships and things like that. Well, one of the trainings that we did was evangelism training. We did 6 weeks of evangelism training. Now, I grew up in a church where evangelism was a core function of what we did. I sat through I don't know how many evangelism trainings as a kid, as a teenager. I went to Bob Jones University. I have an undergrad from there. I have a master's degree from there. I have pastored churches. From a human perspective, and I'm just saying this from a human perspective, in my mind, the last person that I thought needed more evangelism training was me. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. So for 6 weeks, I went to this evangelism training class because I wanted to be supportive of the pastor and of the church plant. And I've been very, very careful not to use my background or my training to be different from other people who are part of this church plant team, because I'm just one of them. I'm not the pastor. I'm supporting the pastor. Guess what? Every week, I learned something new. Every week, I walked away refreshed, excited about the ministry of the gospel. Every week, I walked away ready to share the gospel with somebody else. Do you know why? Because I was fellowshipping with fellow believers. We were coming together, and as part of our training, we were worshiping together. We were growing together and becoming like-minded, as that passage said, and we were glorifying God in what we were doing. Biblical hospitality deepened my fellowship with them, which in turn helped me grow, which in turn helped me be more excited about doing what God was telling me to do. Do you see how all this ties together? As you deepen your personal walk with the Lord, you should then be living that out in impacting the lives of other people. We don't grow just so we can puff out our chest and say, I'm more spiritual today than I was yesterday. Who cares? God doesn't care about that, because God is concerned about you showing the gospel and His love to other people. He doesn't build you up just so you can say you're a better Christian. He wants to see you live it out. The Holy Spirit prompts you to live that out. One thing that came to mind is, all of us have probably experienced somebody who has a relative, a child, a spouse, or a close friend who is not living for the Lord, who has chosen to maybe depart from things that they knew. or whatever the case may be, when you hear somebody talk about that loved one that has turned away from God, you can't help but feel for them, right? You can put yourself in those shoes, and it wants you, you are driven then to pray for them and do what you can to encourage them. That's the kind of time we need to take to get to know everybody. I don't know what each of you are going through today. But if I were a member of this church, I would want to get to know this couple up here and this couple here. Get to know my dad, who's lost a spouse in the last couple years. Get to know you two over here. And find out what's going on in your life. How can I be an encouragement to you? How can I help you in your walk with him? And who is there in your life that needs to see Jesus in your life that I can help make that happen? Biblical hospitality is not just about doing good things. It's not just about being together. It's not about eating a meal together. Biblical hospitality is about saying, God, I know what your Bible teaches. I know that I am supposed to show the love of Jesus in every aspect of my life and help glorify you and bring others into the kingdom. And in order for me to do that, I've got to interact with people, so help me do that. Help me have the courage, help me have the words, help me have the mindset and the eyes to see when someone is in need, and God, please use me to do what you want me to do to further the gospel and to build up fellow believers so the kingdom can be expanded. That's what biblical hospitality is about. Sometimes that hospitality needs to be shown to your spouse, sometimes to your kids, sometimes to other loved ones, but definitely to the fellow believers in this church and definitely to the community in which you live and work. Biblical hospitality is a mindset. It is a way of thinking. God said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is Jesus saying? Think like me and then act like I did. The way I lived while I was on this earth is the way I want you to live while you're on this earth. Now go do it. That's something that God has really been working in my heart on this year, and I hope this has been a good challenge. Don't be like the innkeeper and say, there's no room. Make room for ministry, because it's what God expects of each and every one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to look at this topic, at these passages of Scripture, especially out of Romans chapter 12. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge our hearts to live out our Christianity, to live out our faith, to live out the love that you have given us in our lives, to live out our salvation to all those around us. Lord, this world is broken and it needs to be fixed, but the only way it can be fixed is by your saving grace. And I pray that we will be willing to be used as a part of the ministry of the gospel in every way we can. We pray this in your name. Amen.